You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn to Hebrews 11, if you will. We started on Hebrews 11 3 years ago, and we're still on it. I don't know how long it's been. I think we've been around a couple of months or 2 or 3 months. Been talking about faith, and really, I thought I was through last week, and then I got to looking at this, and I thought, nah, I've got to go a little further with this. This is just too good. Amen? And we're not going anywhere. We got plenty of time, and, you know, the Scripture is the Scripture, whether it's the next verse or whether it's another book or whether it's another subject, it's still all God's Word. So concerning faith, which we've been going in great detail, last few weeks we taught on the characteristics of faith or attitudes of faith or attributes of faith. You know, in other words, what does faith look like? What does it sound like? What does it act like? How do you know when you're in faith? Well, you know, if you go over those 13 through 16, you'll find things that it says about faith, that it, you know, it looks further than the now. Amen. It sees way off things that hadn't happened yet. It's persuaded by them and embraces them. And it confesses it doesn't belong to this world or this problem or this obstacle, or this mountain, but it belongs to God and it belongs to the promise. Amen. And so, you know, you go through some of those attributes that it mentions there in those verses. Faith's always desiring something better. It always looks for something better. It's not mindful of the past. It's not continually thinking about what is wrong. It's continually thinking about what is right. Faith is an attitude. Faith is a focus. And so if you're going to be a woman of faith or a man of faith, then you're going to have to get your focus on God's Word. Faith is based on something. Faith is not a chimera. It's not up in the air. It's just not a utopia or a dreamland or a Shangri-La that you just walk into. Faith is based on something solid. It's based on God's Word. So if you want to be a person of faith, then you're going to have to get in the Word. You're going to have to look at the Word. You're going to have to focus on the Word. And you're going to have to get the Word inside of you because that's where faith comes from. Amen. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Amen? Now, it doesn't stop. It doesn't say faith comes by hearing, period, because you can hear all kinds of things in the world, some good, some bad, some indifferent. But faith specifically comes from hearing the Word. And so that's what we need to center in on. Amen? What does the Word say? What does God say? Hallelujah. And so these are men and women that are listed here that believe God and trusted God in adverse circumstances and differing circumstances, maybe different than yours, but yours is no different in this sense that faith will get you out of the mess you're in just like God got them out of the mess they're in. Notice what it says, 17th verse, by faith Abraham, when he was tested. Now here's where everybody's ears perk up, you know. The Bible says in Genesis 22 that God tested Abraham, but God didn't tempt Abraham. We need to get that straight. When something, a tragedy happens in your life, that's not God. God doesn't use tragedy, and he doesn't tempt or test that way. He doesn't tempt you to do evil. In fact, when you look at the case that he's going to describe here, God asked Abraham to sacrifice something, not to sin. Are you with me? Not to do something wrong, not to do something evil, but to give up something. And God does that all the time with us. God challenges us constantly to come on in a little further, to let some other things slide, are you with me, to give up some things for a greater good and a greater cause and a greater blessing. And you have to give up to go up. That's just the law of sacrifice. If you want to, people talk about people in charge, people that have authority, pastors, maybe presidents, or, you know, you could leaders of countries or businesses, and they think, well, man, I wish I was in charge. I'd have all the freedom in the world. Well, actually, you lose freedom when you're in charge. You don't gain freedom. Because the more authority you have, the more responsible you are for others. And the less you belong to yourself, and the more you belong to everybody else. I can't sleep in on Wednesday night because I'm fighting a migraine. Are you with me? I mean, I'd have to be just bedridden, not be able to come, you know. But if I can get on my feet and stand up, I have to come. I need to come. I'm the pastor. Are you with me? I'm not free to just play with church. I'm a pastor. I'm a leader. I have to be here. I got to be in charge. I got to be an example. I have to show that. I'm not free to just kind of dabble loosely in sin and still be saved, do things that really wouldn't affect my salvation, but it might not be considered the right thing to do. Some people do that and say, well, I'm still saved. I'm still a Christian. Well, I can't do that. I'm a pastor because I'm an example and a model. I have to give up things. Are you with me? And anybody has to, a business person gave up a lot to build a business. They didn't just show up 9 to 5 and build and punch the clock and get a check. They were there hours and hours and days and weeks and months and are you with me, late nights and trying to get that building built, that business built. And so often we forget that if we're going to go further in God, we have to give up things. And so, and many times God does challenge us. He tests us sometimes to see if we will. Because if we won't, we're not going to be able to be used in that area, pure and simple. Are you with me? If we're not making the little sacrifices, God can't put us over the big things. If we're not faithful in the little things, He can't put us over the much. So that's a test God does do. I mean, there's no question He does that, to see where we are. You may say, well, God knows all things. I don't believe He does. I believe He chooses not to. I believe He can know everything. He's God. He can do whatever He wants to. But I believe He exists with us. He lives with us. He moves with us. I mean, He's determined a lot of things in the future, and it's in the prophecies in the Bible. We know that. But He's living up our life and our experience with us. It hasn't already happened for Him. He's not looking back on our life like it already took place. He is living it with us. And so sometimes He doesn't know for sure what we're going to do. And you'll find that all in the Scripture, too, because it says, I will do this to see if they will do that. Or I'll do this and hopefully they will turn. For I don't know whether they will or not, but if they do. I mean, those are scriptures. That's what the Bible says. So here where it says He tested Abraham, Abraham was tested. God was the one that did it. It wasn't the devil that did it because it wasn't a temptation. It wasn't an evil. Are you out there? And He's referring to giving up His son Isaac. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He went to obey God. He was going to follow through with what God said to do. Even though it seemed impossible, and even though it seemed like the outcome would have been negative. Now here's a teaching or truth for all of us. Many times God challenges us to do things that in our mind seem like it's going to be turn out bad, it's going to cost us, it's going to be too high a price. But if you will trust God, you'll find that not only will it not be a high price, not only will it not wind up costing you in the long run, you'll come out better than you did when you started. So you have to be willing to do what God says, are you with me, when He asks us to do things. Willing to step out on God's word. God asked me to come to West Point, Texas. I was at Lakewood Church in Houston, Texas. A perfect example. Brent and I were very young at the time, and we were moving up the ladder, I guess you'd say, in Lakewood. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people at Lakewood, a lot of people doing a lot of things, but we'd gone from nothing to over the counselors. We were head counselors for 2 years at Lakewood and had 175 counselors underneath us. And we have counselors meetings. I'd meet with 175 counselors and speak with them and talk with them. We'd talk about what the services are going and what we need to do and what we need to dress and so on and so forth. 175 counselors now. That's I was over that many counselors. And I taught the auditorium class, which was a Sunday morning. We did class in the auditorium at Lakewood because there were just too many people to put in a room somewhere. So I'd start out in the mornings at 9:30 with 400 people. And then by the time we were the last year I was preaching there, I'd start out with 400 at 9:30. But then by 10:15, because it were 45-minute classes and we stopped at 10:15 because service started at 10:30. By 10:15, there'd be 4,000 people there in my class. I did that for 2 years, taught classes there. I taught longer than that, but for two straight years I taught. And so I filled in for Brother Osteen on occasion, introduced guest ministers when Brother Osteen was out of town. I'd get up and receive the offering, introduce guest ministers, and met Norval Hayes in the back offices and talked to him, introduced him, Marilyn Hickley. I do what? Took him to lunch a couple of times, you know. Young guy, I mean, I'm moving and shaking. You know, I'm just doing great. And God says, go to Wills Point, Texas and start a church. There wasn't a church here. Just go to Wills Point, start a church. So at the time, you know, I thought, you got to be kidding me. I rebuked the devil. I thought, that's not God. I literally rebuked the devil. And prayed. And every time I prayed, come back up. And every time I prayed, come back up. And so subsequently, we did come up, have a few meetings, you know. Dr. Galloway had a Bible study for a couple of years with some of the Methodists and a Thursday night Bible study. I think I came up and preached one of those. Then I came up and did a full gospel businessmen's meeting in Terrell one time. And then we came up and did three seminars in the old above the old shoe store. well, what is now the shoe store. Back then it was auto parts store, I think, at that time, and did meetings there. And finally I saw that it was God to do this. And God wanted to see if I was willing to do that. Are you with me? And if I'd have turned it down, you know what? God had got somebody else. And I suppose God would have blessed me to some degree, but I'd never really experienced the fullness of God or the blessing of God if I hadn't obeyed Him. Now, in my mind, that was a lesser thing. I would be giving up, but the benefit I have from all my children now serving God, all my children are grown and they're all serving God and they all love the Lord. And the ones that live here are still involved in ministry here at the church. I could not put a price on that. I wouldn't want to go around the world and have a name and lights and have my children go to hell. Not to say if they would if I'd stayed there, because I believe Lakewood's a great church. But see, there was a situation where God was trying me to see if I would do it. And I did, and He blessed me. And it was better than I could ever dream or imagine. The benefits have been far outweighed any sacrifices I made. That is the way that God tests us. And so many times God will ask you to do things. And sometimes you think, well, that's just not going to work. That's going to cost me. But see, if you will obey God, because He asked you to do it, if you'll do it because He says so, you'll come out better than you started out with. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Are you out there?
Amen.
So in this case, this test, as it were, it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Now, this is pretty amazing because, first of all, God told him that in Isaac, you know, everybody be blessed. All nations will be blessed in Isaac through his seed. And so here's God asking him to offer up Isaac. Well, now listen, Abraham had enough faith to realize, well, if that's the case, and if I do this thing, God will raise him up. Because I have God's word on the matter that through him all nations will be blessed. I've got God's promise. So many times when God asks us to do something, we try to figure it out on paper, it doesn't work. We have to say, well, if that is the case, I'm going to do this anyway and believe God, because God can't lie, and He's going to bless me, and He knows what He's doing. Amen? And so no matter what looks good or bad, no matter what's going to cost me or not cost me, in the long run, I'm going to come out ahead, because God's the one who asked me to do it. Sometimes it's give up time. Sometimes it's give up money. Sometimes it's go see somebody, or whatever the case may be, I don't know. Sometimes give away something. You know, Brent, I've given away cars before.
Yeah.
Gave away Volkswagen, gave away a Chevrolet, gave away two cars? Three cars? I don't know how many we give them away. One day, somebody pulls up my driveway in a brand new car. Brand new car. I didn't give away new cars. I didn't have new cars. Are you kidding? I had a new car. We didn't have a new car until someone gave us one. Are you with me? And we got a new car. Hallelujah. And then we got another new car someone gave us. And then somebody called us up. Years went by. Somebody called us up and said, hey, are you prejudiced? And I said, no. What do you mean? He said, you're not prejudiced. I said, I'm not prejudiced. What are you talking about? He said, well, I know you're driving around in a Chevrolet, a Suburban. Would you be interested in an Expedition, a Ford? And I said, well, I don't know. Why? Well, he said, because I want to buy you a brand new one, fully loaded. I said, I'm not prejudiced at all. He said, well, when do you think you could get down here? It was in Carrollton, you know. I said, take me about 2 hours. So, anyway, we got a brand new Eddie Byer fully loaded Expedition. Paid for. I mean, it was just paid for. Now, but see, look, now wait a second, let's back up. I was willing to give away vehicles years before. Not when I didn't have new vehicles. Are you kidding me? I didn't have new vehicles. They were just, you know, we ran them until they ran in the ground. In fact, when Brent and I got married, I inherited a year old, that was the closest we'd had a new one at that time, a year old Super Beetle, 1972 Super Beetle. We got married in 73, and I married her and took out the payments. Because I had totaled out my pickup 3 days before I got married. Going to a church meeting. Yeah, right. No, I was lost and all messed up. And I totaled out my pickup, so I decided I better get married so I can have something to drive around. That's not true either. Come on now. Y'all stay with me. It's that migraine. I'm thinking, yeah. Okay, back to the scripture. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. You know, he had several sons after this. This is what's amazing. He actually married later in life and had many more sons and daughters. And all us. Because we are all the children of Abraham by faith, is what the Bible says. So because of his willingness to offer Isaac, he got back more than what he gave. Now, God knows this principle, and he operates that way too. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believed in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And that's us. Look at all of us that came back from the one Son God gave. Because God's willing to sacrifice. Because God's willing to give up. Because God's willing to serve. Look at how much comes back to him. It's the giver that's blessed. It's the one that sacrifices that it prospers. Prosperity doesn't come from just getting things. Prosperity comes from giving things. We often think that's greed. That's all that is, just trying to get stuff. But if you're thinking of ways to give and help and bless and encourage and lift others, and then, hey, it's going to come back to you, because you cannot give without it coming back. Come on. You can't plant and sow without reaping. And if we could just start planting, start sowing, we'll start reaping. If we just start giving, we'll start getting. In fact, our goal is not to get. Our goal is to give. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. First, put God first. Oh, hallelujah. Get your heart right. That's what he said in 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. You get your soul prospered, that's the gauge for the rest of the prosperity. Amen. And, of course, Deuteronomy 28:1 says, if you'll hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his sight, and obey these commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings will come on you, and they will overtake you. Amen. If you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, and do that which is right in his sight, and keep his command. Get your heart right. He'll bless you. Amen. So he says, 17th verse, by faith Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. Not tested, tempted, tried through tragedy, through crisis, through sickness, through disease, through temptation as far as evil. No, no, not that kind. No, no, no. God doesn't do that. God proves us by our obedience. That's a different kind of test. He proves us. It's like we prove. Did you know we prove God? Malachi 3:10 says, bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith. Test me. Not with evil, not tempting him, but put him to the test. He said, put me to the test. Prove my word. Act on it, do it, and you'll prove me. Isn't that right? So in that sense, we prove God. We test God, but not an evil way, not in a bad way. I know Rachel Birchfield now. Rachel and Tommy Birchfield have a great church and a huge Christian camp. Our kids went there this summer. Rance's church, Pastor Rance, his church, kids went there. But anyway, I knew Rachel when she was Rachel Cook, and we used to minister together and do youth things together back in the late 70s. We did a big youth thing at 1978, Lakewood, and then Victoria, Texas. But I digress. She used to say, she was a nurse, and she used to pray for patients all the time. And she used to say when she'd read through the Bible and find a promise, she'd put a T by it, and then she'd try that out. And she said when she'd see it come to pass, and when it would happen in her life, she'd go back and put a P beside the T. Try to improve it. Are you with me? See, that's the kind of trying something. That's why we say the word, let's try this. See, that's the same word, test or prove. So that's not an evil thing. That's not like the devil doing something to us. That's God proving us and trying us, just like we prove and try him every time we stand on his word. And he encourages us to do that in Malachi 3:10. Prove me now herewith. Put me to the test. See if it won't work for you. You start tithing and see if you don't get blessed. See if I don't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you don't have room to receive. See if I don't rebuke the devourer for your sake. See if you're not called a delightsome land. Yeah. Woo! Good stuff. Amen. So Abraham understood it. I know it sounded kind of weird to him, and it sounded like a great cost to him and a great sacrifice to him, but he knew God. He understood God. You understand how God works? He just assumed that if he did that, then God raised his son from the dead. 18th verse, of whom it was said concerning Isaac, and Isaac, your seed will be called. Ask him to sacrifice him. 19th verse, concluding that God, I'm reading New King James, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. Because the moment he determined to follow through, he was already determined to do it and receive him back from the dead again, knowing that God would raise him from the dead. Abraham did not walk up that mountain thinking that he was going to lose a son. He walked up that mountain thinking at the very worst he'd kill him, but God would raise him from the dead. Are you out there? Because God had already said what he was going to do. He's going to use him to bless all nations. And so if this is what God asked him to do, it wasn't going to be permanent, because God's word is permanent. Amen? And so if he followed through with this, God would just have to raise him from the dead, and he believed he would. Turn to Genesis 22. Genesis 22, reading out of the New King James Version. This is the account. This is where it took place. If you have your Bibles, turn there. And if you write notes, you want to put that down for sure. You know, I think about that rich young ruler. In one sense, Jesus was testing or trying or proving him. And when he said, go, the rich young ruler came to Jesus. Remember in Mark 10th chapter? Turn to Genesis 22. He came to Jesus and he said, what might I do that I might inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, have you kept the commandments? And he said, well, yeah, I've kept them all from our youth. Which ones? And he said, well, and he listed all these things, you know, all of the commandments concerning people. And he said, yeah, I've done all that from my youth. And he said, well, one thing you lack, he says, go and sell everything you got and give it to the poor and come follow me, and you'll have riches in heaven. Now, do you really think that Jesus is saying, if you sell everything you got, you'll go to heaven? Do you really think that's what he meant? He said, come follow me. Now, that'd get you to heaven. But you can't buy your way to heaven. You can't sell all your stuff and go to heaven. There was something in this man's heart that needed to change. He needed to get his faith in God. And he didn't have his faith in God. He didn't say, go sell everything you got and give to the poor and you'll go to heaven. He said, go sell everything you got, give to the poor, and follow me. Because if you don't follow Jesus, you can sell everything you got. That's not going to help you. Are you with me? But notice this, when the disciples questioned this, because Jesus said, well, how hard is it for rich men to enter to heaven? And they said, well, they were astonished. And Jesus said again, he said, well, how hard is it for a rich man to trust in his riches to enter to heaven? It's easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to go into heaven. And, of course, Peter said, well, who then can be saved? And he says, well, with men it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Salvation is a God thing, not a man thing. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. It's a heart matter. You have to trust God. In this case, this man had to follow Jesus, but his money kept him from following Jesus. But he goes right on after that, and Peter says, well, you know, we forsook all. We followed you. And Jesus said, no man has forsaken houses, homes, wives, children, lands, that shall not receive a hundredfold in this life and in the life to come, eternal life. So it appears to me, and it seems to me, in light of what he just said right after that, if that rich man had given all that money up and give it to the poor, he'd wind up getting 100 times back and eternal life. In other words, anything he gave would have been multiplied. Anything he sacrificed would have come back to him. Anything he planted, he would have reaped later. But there was an initial cost. There was a sacrifice. There was a proving time or a testing time, and he failed the test. Are you with me? You know, whatever I've given up for the gospel, I've gotten back 100-fold. Are you with me? Whatever I've sacrificed to serve God, I've gotten back 100-fold. I remember going off to India when I had enough money to get there. I had a plane ticket there and back, but I didn't have enough money to survive while I was there. And left Brenda without anything, too. Just a gospel, spiritual idiot. I thought I was obeying God. I felt right. Are you with me? Hundreds, I don't know how many people got saved. We had crusades all over. And you know, God did supply our needs, and God did supply my needs, and we came back. Or I came back, excuse me. And then I went back a second time. And Then I started doing missionary work. And I took off and went to Houma, Louisiana. I was gone 2 weeks. I went to Houma, Louisiana. I went to Colquitt, Georgia. And I went to Crystal River, Florida, and Jacksonville, Florida in 1980. I took off, and Chris was 6 years old, threw him in the pickup. I had a 1978 Silverado pickup with 354 barrel oxblooded red. I love that thing. We loaded up that pickup and took off. I had enough money to get to the first place to preach. I had all these meetings lined up to go to, you know. I was 24. Had all these meetings lined up to go to, and praise God, I got that first meeting. I got the money to get the next one. I mean, gas money. I'm talking about I didn't have the money, but I knew God told me to go, so we went. And little by little, you know, God began to bless us. Are you with me? And that changed. But I had to make those sacrifices. In fact, when I went to India, I went on money that I had saved from meetings I'd preached at for years. I'd preached at different places and put money aside, and I took that money and put it on my missions trip. Nobody sponsored me. Lakewood didn't send us on that trip to India, and it cost a lot of money for a plane ticket to go. When we started this church, we had three seminars, I mentioned that, three seminars, and had offerings in all three seminars. I kept half of all the offerings. And so when we started the church, Lakewood sent us out with an offering. They gave us an offering on a Wednesday night. The last Wednesday night, I was at Lakewood Church. Brother Osteen had Brother and I come up, prayed over us, and blessed us, and took an offering for us. And I took that money, and then I took the money that I had set aside for those three meetings, and we bought a set of drums, and we bought 100 chairs, and we bought, I don't know what else we had, but we had money to start the church with. A soundboard. We bought a soundboard. We had to have a sound system and a set of drums and chairs. I mean, you start a church, you know, you have to have something to sit on. Are you with me? And you do need a little music going on. Come on now. Got to have a little music. But I made sacrifices, Bert and I did, to serve God. Let me tell you, don't say poor little thing, because God has paid me back 100 times. Are you with me? When we started the church, I went on an offering basis, and for 31 years I've been on an offering basis. We do not get a salary from the church. We do not get a check from the church. We have always been on an offering basis. That's what that envelope you see, pastor and church. What you put in pastor goes to me. What you put in church goes to church. And if you don't mark anything at all, it goes to church. I was talking to somebody just the other day. They said something. They've been given quite a bit of money and don't even go to our church. And they said something about, well, you know, I was giving a report of some of the things. He said, you didn't take any of that money. I said, well, you never said I was supposed to take that money. You sent it to the church. I gave it all to the church. It's what you've been doing for years. He said, well, I meant for you to take it and use it wherever you needed it. I said, well, the church needed it. I said, if you don't put my name on it, I'm not going to take it. Now, is that a bad thing? That's a good thing. God's blessed us. We're blessed because of sacrifices we made, but I haven't been run by money. Are you with me? I've had my faith in God. And you have to put your faith in God. You have to believe in the character and integrity and the things that the Bible says to do. You have to believe that God will always come through if you do that. And we have, and God has, and it's been a wonderful ride. It really has. I've never regretted anything we ever did. I didn't make those sacrifices. I don't ever talk about those kind of things. Come on. 31 years now, I can talk about a few things, can I? Don't I have the right to do that? But we've done those things, always lived that way. We've done those things for years. We did the thing when we started the ministry, when we went out teaching, we started the church. There's always sacrifices to be made if you're going to go on in God. And the same thing happened here. Hey, real quickly, let's read the story. Genesis 22:1. Now it came to pass, after that these things, that God tested Abraham. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Incidentally, the Mount Moriah is where the temple is. The temple of Jerusalem is on Mount Moriah. And right outside of the temple areas where Jesus was crucified, Golgotha, Calvary, the place of the skull. But that area was called the land of Moriah, and Mount Moriah is where the temple of Solomon is built. It says, go to the land of Moriah and offer there a burnt offering, offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Let's turn this around, make this a little bigger, I can read this. Early in the morning and saddled his donkey. Okay, which verse am I on? Three. Okay. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Okay, don't fade on me. No fade on me. He rose up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering because he's going to obey God, and arose and went to the place which God had told him. He's going to go where God told him to. He's going to do what God told him to do. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." Yeah. Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. He didn't say, "Stay here. The lad and I will go yonder, and I will come back." He said, "Stay here. The lad and I will go yonder, and we will come back to you."
Right.
Y'all see that? So he is believing that he's bringing Isaac back, even if he has to slay him and sacrifice him, as Hebrews 11 tells us. He believed that God was able to raise him from the dead, and he received him that way in a figure. Oh, hallelujah. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Are you ready for this? Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Man, he's believing something here, isn't he? Then they came to the place which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son. Now, see, his son was old enough to fight. He didn't. He just submitted. He carried the wood. Come on, he wasn't just a little kid. He must have been old enough to maybe early teens or whatever. But he bound his son, Isaac, laid him on the altar and upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife to slay his son in the act of obeying God. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." He didn't say, "Now you know." He said, "Now I know." That's why I believe God experienced this life with us on purpose. I think God could know anything he wants to. God's God. He can do whatever he wants to. I believe God's chosen to live our lives with us, watching us develop. And he's excited when we believe. He's grieved when we don't. But it's not all graved in stone. The future is open. Are you with me? And in this case, he said, Now I know that you fear God. 13th verse. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked up, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of the son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," or "Jehovah Jireh."
Amen.
So it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, my provider. His grace is sufficient for me. You remember that song? I love that. But it's based on that right there. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me, for me, for me. You remember that? Jehovah Jireh, my provider, his grace is sufficient for me. I don't remember the rest of it. But anyway, that's where it came from. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And I'll tell you what, the truth of this for us, practically speaking, is the Lord will always provide if we'll obey him. If we'll do the things that seemingly will cost us, that to us, in our mind, will cost us, but they're still nonetheless what God said to do. If we'll go the extra mile, if we'll stretch out and reach out to people when it's inconvenient, we don't feel like it. If we'll pray for people and we could do something else, stay with me. If we'll go out and minister and help and lift and encourage people when it doesn't seem like it's worth it, and it seems like it's just a long, endless road, and we're not doing any good at all, and I could stay home and watch TV, Hello. But if we'll make the sacrifices, Jehovah Jireh will kick in. Amen? And he will multiply, and he'll increase, and he'll provide. But if you want to go up, you got to give up. Amen? It's called the law of sacrifice. Jesus didn't become king until he was crucified. He wasn't raised from the dead more than a conqueror with the keys of hell and death in his hands and King of Kings and Lord of Lords until he died on the cross, till he was willing to sacrifice. But no sacrifice you make for God goes unnoticed. And it will all reap benefits.